I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, who was born in 1952 in Ohio. His parents, Sabina and David, were Holocaust survivors who immigrated to the United States after World War II. Teitelbaum excelled academically and graduated from college in 1969 in only 3 years. In 1975, he was the third year of medical school and second youngest in a class of over 200 students. During that time, he contracted a viral illness that left him partially able to function and almost too exhausted to get out of bed. The illness progressed to the point where he was forced to temporarily drop out of medical school to recover. Too ill to work and no longer supported by a scholarship, he eventually found himself homeless, living out of his 1965 Dodge Dart. The experience proved to be a profound turning point in Teitelbaum's life, closing one chapter and opening other doors to new possibilities of self-exploration. With the help of friends and family, he eventually recovered the energy to finish medical school and residency. But the symptoms of chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia had not fully left him, and the experience provided a deep first-hand application of these illnesses. As a result, he dedicated his medical career to improving awareness and understanding of chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, within the medical community and providing effective treatment for patients who suffered from it. He now has nearly three decades of experience devoted exclusively to the research and treatment of chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia and is widely regarded as one of the leading medical authorities in the field. Teitelbaum is the lead author of research on effective treatment for chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, published in the Journal of Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, Volume 1, Number 2, in 2001. He has written several books on chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and pain management, designed nutritional supplements to help those suffering from these illnesses, and develop a patented diagnostic software tool to evaluate a patient and prescribe a treatment program tailored to their specific needs. He is also an internationally sought-after speaker, frequently lecturing to patients, physicians, and research groups, and is a regular quoted source for television, radio, and print media on the topic of Vitality 101. In April 2002, Teitelbaum was editorialized in the Journal of the American Academy of Pain Management, where his integrated treatment protocol was recognized as an excellent and highly effective part of the standards of practice for fibromyalgia and chronic muscle pain conditions. Teitelbaum and his wife, Lori, live in Hawaii. He continues to educate patients and healthcare practitioners through books and articles, his website, www.andfatigue.com, monthly newsletters, and regular interviews. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. T, and I look forward to hearing about pain and fibromyalgia. Now first, what is the scope of the pain problem?
Well, it's a major problem because one out of four adult Americans have chronic pain that is not being adequately treated. And then when you're looking at things like fibromyalgia, there's about 12 million Americans, and some estimate even 24 if you look at the milder forms, that unnecessarily suffer with fibromyalgia. So whatever kind of pain people are having today, we'll talk about natural ways and even other alternatives, things they can do to get pain-free. And virtually everybody can get good pain relief, mm-hmm. even if the doctor has no clue.
Mm-hmm. Now, what training do doctors usually have in pain management?
Usually the training that most doctors have in pain management is virtually nothing. I can give you in half a minute what most doctors learn, which mm-hmm. is give them Tylenol or Motrin family medications, and don't let them fool you into giving narcotics unless they have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Unless they're surgeons, in which case they're taught that, here, you can mm-hmm. operate on this and this, whether they need it or not. So, well, the last words are left out of the training. But it's pathetic. And mm-hmm. most doctors are clueless about pain management, yet other professionals like chiropractors who know pain management, the physicians make believe that they're all quacks. So
mm-hmm.
it's good for people to take it into their own hands
mm-hmm.
because they can't get pain-free that way.
Mm-hmm. And how do I turn off the pain signal?
Well, what you want to recognize, Carl, is that pain is not an aberration. It's a normal function of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the oil light on your car's dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
That goes off telling you that something needs attention. And it's annoying when that red flashing light goes on. But you know, what most doctors would do is they say, oh, that's annoying. Let's put a Band-Aid over that oil light.
mm-hmm.
And where instead, if you just went ahead and put some oil in and fixed the leak, the light would go out. So for pain, most of the categories of what your body's telling you it needs for pain, if it's a broken leg or your hand's on a hot stove, it's obvious. But if it's metabolic and people have pain and they don't know why, they need to think shine.
Mm-hmm.
Asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Hormonal problems, infections and inflammation, nutritional deficiencies, and exercise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those are the keys. And what our research shows with fibromyalgia, for example, is that using that approach, 91% of people improved,
mm.
with half of them no longer even qualifying for having the diagnosis of fibromyalgia.
Mm.
So pain is very, very treatable.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go through some simple natural things that people can do. If people don't know where to start,
mm-hmm.
Say have a joint pain or muscle pain or whatever, and just want to know where to start. There's a supplement called Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N, which best description is it's a pain relief miracle. It's a mix of a special highly absorbed curcumin, boswellia, DLPA, and natokinase. And in my 35 years of being a pain specialist,
mm-hmm.
I have not found anything more effective, even morphine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, really good for pain. And the effects continue to build over 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are looking for a starting place, that's a really good one. Other herbal mixes, there's another one called N-Pain, which is a mix of willow bark, boswellia, and cherry, also excellent. Between those two, most people with day-to-day pain
mm-hmm.
are going to find they get very, very good relief.
Mm-hmm.
And these can be taken with their arthritis and other pain medications as well. And after 6 weeks, most people find they can cut the dose of the medicines down or usually stop them.
Mm-hmm. Is the Curamin new? I've not heard of it before.
Well, Curamin is turmeric. That's the yellow spice in
mm-hmm.
Indian
oh, yeah.
food, like curries.
Oh, okay.
But the problem has been that it is very, very difficult to get good absorption.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 30-plus years, we've seen over 1,000 studies come by, and I said, well, that's nice, but you can't get that much into a person. It's just not going to work. And then a couple of years ago, they found a new approach that increased absorption of the Curamin about 7 times. So one pill replaced 7.
Mm.
And since then, there's been an explosion using, it's called the BCM95 form of research, using it for cancer,
mm-hmm.
Alzheimer's disease. There's a recent study at the International Arthritis Conference showing that a mix of that kind of curcumin and boswellia, it's called Healthy Knees and Joints,
mm-hmm.
was far more effective than the medication Celebrex in a head-on blinded study. So there's so much going on now. And like I said, the Curamin, Healthy Knees and Joints for arthritis pain, and pain for arthritis pain. There's so many things people can do that they don't have to be dying from pain medications or being left in pain anymore.
Mm-hmm. You've had a lot of success treating fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, and you mentioned the SHINE protocol. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely. What's happening in fibromyalgia is that people are having widespread pain and fatigue combined with insomnia. So when you see that paradox that you can't sleep even though you're exhausted and you ache all over, you've got fibromyalgia until proven otherwise.
Hmm.
And that represents an energy crisis in a person's body. And we treat people from all over the world, both by phone consultation and in person. We do a 4-hour consultation, and what we do is we look at those key areas. We look at what's causing the energy crisis, and then we go with SHINE, We make sure that they're getting 8 hours sleep a night, and we give them what's needed to do so.
Mm-hmm.
There are very nice natural remedies for sleep. One's called the Revitalizing Sleep Formula. It's my favorite, by Enzymatic Therapy. We give them hormonal support, thyroid, adrenal, bioidentical hormones, and that's even if the blood tests are normal.
Mm-hmm.
The blood tests miss the vast majority of people who benefit from hormonal support.
Oh.
We treat infections and inflammation, especially candida, and we look for other infections. And then you give nutritional support. There's a recent study of ours published about 6 weeks ago that showed that giving a special nutrient called ribose increased energy an average of 61% after 3 weeks.
Wow.
That was average. In most studies, if you get a 5 to 10% increase in energy, you break out the champagne. And we've never mm-hmm. seen any single nutrient give 61% more energy.
Mm-hmm.
And picture, Carl, what would it be like 3 weeks from now if you had 61% more energy
right,
than now?
Right.
So the ribose, or Korvalin, it's one scoop or 5 grams 3 times a day. People will know it within 3 weeks. And then we give them a vitamin powder called the Energy Revitalization System.
Mm-hmm.
And that mixed together for most people, they're going to find their energy is going to skyrocket and a lot of their pain is going to go away just with those two things.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Then you mentioned curcumin and curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
And are there other botanicals for treating serious conditions like fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue?
We could talk about that for months
or
years. If people are looking for a good overview of how of natural remedies they can use for whatever ails them from A to Z,
mm-hmm.
there's two simple tools. One is an iPhone and Android app called Cures A to Z, so Cures, capital A-C.
Mm-hmm.
Over 1.5 million people have downloaded that app, and it's free. So whether you have acne or zoster, you just look it up and say, here's what's going on, and here are the natural therapies that can help. For those who would like it in a book form, there's my newest book is Real Cause, Real Cure.
Mm-hmm.
That just came out in August, and that's like an owner's manual for the body. And in addition, it'll go through each of the individual conditions and say, here's the recipe to mm-hmm. get involved from that, mm-hmm. how to use natural remedies. Let's go through a couple kinds of nerve pain, of pain, so people can get specifics.
Mm-hmm.
For arthritis pain, there's mm-hmm. a four-step program that's like a spa for your joints. We give glucosamine sulfate, 750 milligrams twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
If it's severe, we'll add chondroitin and MSM. We then give the healthy knees and joints, which is a brilliant herbal. We then go ahead and teach them how to stretch those joints by putting a hot compress or a heating pad over the joint for 10 minutes and then taking that joint through full range of motion stretch
mm-hmm.
so that they can get the use back.
Mm-hmm.
And in severe refractory arthritis cases that persist despite that, we
mm-hmm.
will go after food allergies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's for that kind of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Migraines? Migraines, very easy to prevent naturally. In fact, even the American Academy of Neurology is starting to recognize and in their position paper saying, hey, these natural remedies work really well. There are many, many placebo-controlled studies looking at it. The key things would be vitamin B2 or riboflavin, 400 milligrams a day, and it takes 6 weeks to prevent for it to kick in. Magnesium, 200 milligrams a day, and then coenzyme Q10, 200 milligrams a day as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's another herb called Petidolex that also can both prevent and treat migraines. So all of this in the book and the free iPhone app, or you can go to vitality101.com. The information's all there, too, for free. So for nerve pain, mm-hmm. lipoic acid and acetyl-carnitine, along with the B vitamins, of course, and magnesium would be the key things for nerve pain.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever kind of pain you have, there's good research showing that natural remedies
mm-hmm.
can get people pain-free now.
Mm-hmm. And there's no side effects to these?
Very minimal. Everything has side effects. You can drink a glass of water and choke on it.
All right.
But in terms of overall safety,
mm-hmm.
To give an idea to compare, and you wouldn't know it from the way the politicians and the drug companies seem to rant about it,
mm-hmm.
but you're looking at probably over 200,000 deaths a year
mm-hmm.
from prescription medications, some estimate as high as 700,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at zero deaths
mm-hmm.
In the last several years from natural mm-hmm. remedies.
Great.
So, mm-hmm. well, you know, do the math. And, you know, it's funny how they, you know, you'll see all these doctors saying, oh, well, you don't know the safety and the rest. Yeah, we do. You know, and we know the toxicity of the medication. I mean, God, if I'm in Vegas and I have a 200,000 to one odd versus a clear winner, I know which one I'm going to bet on.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned that inflammation is the source of many of these diseases. And how do curcumin and boswellia work to stop the inflammation and pain?
They work in a complementary method. The curcumin has several inflammatory pathways, including what's called the Cox pathway that inhibits. The boswellia inhibits the elastase inflammatory pathway along with several others as well. So what you're doing, instead of like most medications that just poison one system, what it does is it rebalances them. It just goes ahead and settles down the overactivity in those systems. And it kind of balances several at once so that you don't get the toxicity, but you get this complementary benefit when you hit several systems at one time.
Mm-hmm. You've done some work with Alzheimer's?
I haven't done the research myself, but if you look at the research looking at Alzheimer's disease in India, there's one-third the rate of Alzheimer's in India as there is in the United States. And that's being attributed to the curcumin in the food. Mm. There are animal studies showing that the curcumin actually can help melt what's called the amyloid plaques and tangles in the brain that are associated with the Alzheimer's. So if somebody is looking for, you know, what do I take if to prevent Alzheimer's or to give a family member with Alzheimer's, my number one choice is going to be a high-potency, highly absorbed curcumin. And the form that I would get, it's the only one that I would use here, is called Cura Med. And you know my policy, Carl. I don't take money from any supplement companies or any pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
So it gives me, makes it easy for me to give a thumbs up where deserved and a raspberry where deserved.
Mm-hmm.
So for Alzheimer's, if I had that or I had a family member, Cura Med, C-U-R-A, not M-E-D, two a day is what I would be taking for that. It's be getting the equivalent of 14 to 18 other capsules of turmeric, and those one or two a day.
Oh.
So it's a really good way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the key for Alzheimer's. If you are wondering, if you have Alzheimer's, people with fibromyalgia, they have brain fog, and they often think, oh, my God, am I getting Alzheimer's? And I say no. You know, Alzheimer's and brain fog, or when people are getting a little older and it's normal, you forget where you left the keys. In Alzheimer's, you forget how to use the keys. They're not the same thing. But when you see some mild dementia going on, or loss of function, first of all, most people who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, a recent study showed that they did not have it. The only way you can tell for sure is you do an autopsy after and you look at the brain. And they did that in a study, and the majority of people who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, they didn't have that. They had other problems. And the good news with that is that most of those other problems are really treatable. So if you're dealing with a loved one, and this is all in the Real Cause Real Cure book or the Cures A to Z app, but if you look at these things, number one, optimize nutrition. And for that, I would use the vitamin powder, the Energy Revitalization System vitamin powder. That's a good one drink a day. Gives outstanding nutritional support. Number two, take a look at all the medications they're on. A lot of people who have so-called Alzheimer's are on 15 different medications. And if you give those medications to somebody who is 20, they'd be arrested for DWI. And I find that most of these medications often are not needed. So they should work with a holistic doctor to see which of these medications they can come off of. And very often, the brain comes back to normal. And this person couldn't drive and didn't remember the kid's name, suddenly their brain is just fine when you bring them off these excess medications that are causing the confusion. Hormonal optimization, low thyroid, low testosterone, other hormones that can be low, even with normal testing, contributes to confusion. Hidden infections will contribute to infection, to dragging people down, and other things like diabetes. So there's an evaluation that I do if people have Alzheimer's disease or have been told they have it. And it works really well, and most people find they can get the brain back or certainly get a lot better function. What happens in most doctors' office, they have 6 minutes for the visit. You say, great-grandpa is getting a bit confused these days, and the doctor writes him out one of two expensive new medications for Alzheimer's, neither of which will make the person better, but both of which are very expensive. And that's all they do. And then the person goes downhill into a nursing home and and off it goes, where it's worth taking the time with a holistic doctor to sort this through and look for the other treatable causes, and the effect can be dramatic. And again, the curcumin, the Curamed, a really, really good thing in this situation. Also, fish oil. Let me mention one thing about fish oil. Most fish oils, you have to take about 8 a day to get the effective dose. Much better to eat 3-4 servings of salmon, tuna, herring, sardines a week, oily fish. Or if you're going to take a supplement, my favorite is called Vectomega because it has some of the other essential oils. It's kept in the bioidentical form, basically. And what you get is upwards of 8 to 50 times the effect. So all you need is one tablet a day instead of 8 fish oil capsules that are, you know, as big as my finger. And you're not burping up fish oil all day. So these are simple things that make it easier for my patients that people can know that can really, you know, you don't have to take a handful of pills all day.
Do you prefer the fish oil to the 369, the borage, fish, and flax?
Yes, for most conditions. Now, if people are vegan, if they're vegan, then they're going to want the flax oil instead. The omega-6 oils, they're mixed. Some of them are very healthy and some are not. But what I prefer is that people use a good liquid vegetable oil, not the solid ones, and preferably one that's, you know, cold-pressed. But many oils are healthy oils, including things like avocados, olive oil, things like that, where you can get the healthy fats that you need. What's the biggest problem is more the omega-3s for people that they're deficient in that area.
Great. Speaking of avocado, I eat one a day for the potassium, and today all they had was something called light avocado, and it was about twice the size of a normal avocado, and I bit into that, and it was terrible. I had to throw it out. I don't know. I imagine it was probably genetically modified, too. I don't know. But
yeah, raised 5,000 miles from me and picked before it was halfway ripe so that they could ship it for 3 weeks. Yeah,
right.
It's one of those things that if you're getting locally grown food, they're able to go ahead and grow it, pick it to ripeness, and they don't have to get a genetic strain that will survive traveling halfway around the world. You know, if you do a local tomato, it can be soft and juicy and the rest. So if you try to ship that guy 3,000 miles, it's going to be tomato juice. So they breed, you know, the plants for the plants to survive, not for the people eating them to survive.
Right. Then, Dr. T, can you tell us about your new book and about your other books and your services? And I don't think you have products, and how the listeners can get your books?
Well, for those who would like a natural owner's manual for their body, so that'll explain how to stay healthy in a fun, easy read and what to do when things break down, my newest book, Real Cause, Real Cure, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, most anywhere. For those with chronic pain, my book, Pain Free 1-2-3, will give more information, although the Real Cause, Real Cure will give the information for most of these things that people need. Fibromyalgia, we do see people from all around the world. If you or somebody you know or in love are suffering from fibromyalgia, they may want to make an appointment, and we do a four-hour consultation, which overviews everything and puts together a very thorough, comprehensive program. And again, 85% of people improve with it. In the study, it was 91%. So it's a very treatable disease. For information on that, people can go to my website, www.endfatigue.com.
And what state are you located in?
In the sunny state of Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. So that's a good trip.
It's a good one. And again, some people want to come in person. Many people do the consultation by phone.
As
long as they've had an examination within a year by their physician. And most people with fibromyalgia have been seen by 30 doctors. Then we're able to do the four-hour consultation by phone.
Oh, great. Good. I didn't understand that. So that's very helpful because Hawaii is a little distance for people on the East Coast, at least.
Well, it's funny. We get people coming in from all over the world, literally, for visits. So it's something that this is very treatable. There are clinics throughout the United States called the Fibromyalgia and Fatigue Centers that also have physicians that know how to use the SHINE protocol. And their website is www.fibroandfatigue.com. And that's also another resource. So people can get help. They just need to go to somebody who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any parting words then for the listeners?
Yes. If you do what we're talking about so you can get your health back, so you can go back to what made you sick in the first place,
mm-hmm.
your body's going to shut you right back down again.
Mm-hmm.
So as you get well and the pain goes away, the fibro goes away, these different problems clear up, start taking a look at the things in your life and make two columns, things that feel good and things that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the things in the column that don't feel good, start withdrawing your attention
mm-hmm.
from that and putting your attention more on the things that feel good. Now, there's some things that, you know, are pain, but it feels better to do them than to quit or leave them, so you stay with it. But as you start doing that and putting your attention on the things you love, you're mm-hmm. going to find that your body's going to support you with health.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's going to make all the difference in the world.
Great. Yeah. Well, good. And I appreciate this very much. It's been very interesting, and it will be helpful to the listeners. As I said, after Susan, Dr. Kolb spoke earlier, there were questions, and so I thought it would be good to have some more information on chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. So I appreciate it very much.
Carl, always a pleasure. And Dr. Kolb is wonderful, by the way.
Yeah, she is great. Yeah, I've had her a couple times, too. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. Aloha.
After reading about, watching, and listening to Anne Margaret, Linda Gray, and others in the last issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, I thought that issue could not be matched. But this one is another prize winner you will not want to miss. One of the highlights for me was listening to and reading about Willie Nelson and his long career as a singer, songwriter, author, poet, actor, and activist, and still going strong at age 79. Listening to him brought back memories of my deceased older brother, who was partial to Willie Nelson's music. Two other celebrities interviewed, Marilou Henner, and Abigail Klein. Also memorable was listening to Billy Vera sing songs from the Golden Age and read about his life in film, radio, and TV, as well as listening to Charlie Langer play jazz on the saxophone. That brought back fond memories of my early adulthood in New York City, where I haunted the jazz clubs. On a more serious note, articles and videos were included on issues such as raids on raw milk and cheese farmers and people using these products, the biggest toxic waste cover-up in U.S. history in the Gulf Coast, the sex trade business, genetically modified foods, and the forbidden cures of cancer. These issues affect us all, and knowing about them is a first step toward advocating to assist in eliminating these injustices and dangers. Heartwarming stories and interviews are also included. One is about Salva Dutt, one of the lost boys who escaped from his village during the Sudanese Civil War and faced many hardships before arriving in the United States and becoming a citizen. He has since formed a charitable organization to drill wells so that the Sudanese people have clean water to drink. We are also introduced to Alex Mund, who works with displaced people, and we can read a letter from an 11-year-old environmentalist. I hope this brief overview will give you an idea of what's in store for you in the current issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Kristen Mellon, a certified nurse midwife with a master's in nursing and a registered nurse certified in obstetrics, as well as a wife and mother of two. She has worked in private practice since 2006, first in Brooklyn and now in northern New Jersey. She earned her master's degree in midwifery from New York University and her nursing degree from Johns Hopkins. Before becoming a midwife, she worked as a doula or labor coach in Baltimore. She is a published author and breastfeeding counselor. Kristen believes in a gentle, personalized birth experience. You can find more information, including her blog, at www.njmidwifery.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Kristen, and I look forward to having some information on women's issues for the listeners. Now, first, how can a woman enhance her fertility naturally?
Well, thanks for having me, Carl. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thank you.
Well, there's a lot of things that a woman can do to enhance her fertility naturally. And I usually like to start by just the simple lifestyle modifications that women can do.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a recent study in Harvard suggested that women who do simple lifestyle modifications can actually enhance their fertility up to 80%.
Mm.
So the number one thing, obviously, would be smoking. So smoking can cause a lot of serious health damages for women in particular, and men. It can actually decrease sperm count in men. But for women, it can actually change the structure of their fallopian tubes, which is where natural fertilization takes place. It can also cause changes to the cervical mucus, it's the conduit which brings the sperm into the uterus to the tubes where fertilization takes place. And there's also an associated risk of miscarriage, even miscarriages before a period is missed,
mm-hmm.
that's associated with smoking. So first off, smoking is definitely a lifestyle change that needs to happen if a woman is thinking about getting pregnant or is concerned about her fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is by maintaining a healthy weight. So women who fall in weight extremes, who are severely underweight or overweight, are less likely to conceive naturally. And fat, subcutaneous tissue or fat, actually stores estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have high levels of estrogen in your body, if you have high levels of fat or a high body fat percentage, it's like taking a birth control pill, because birth control pills are estrogen. And so if you have high levels of estrogen naturally, you're not going to get pregnant, or you're going to have impaired or subfertility.
Mm-hmm.
So maintaining a healthy weight is definitely important in terms of, you know, keeping low natural levels of estrogen in the body, and then healthy hormone levels, which promote the right time for ovulation and then the
mm-hmm.
right time for conception.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with high weight or women who eat a lot of high starchy sugary foods, which lead to weight gain, puts a lot of stress on the pancreas. And the pancreas is what, you know, stimulates the insulin, and that helps us to absorb glucose in the body. And high levels of insulin, or a stressed pancreas that's constantly secreting insulin, can lead to complications like polycystic ovarian syndrome. And that can also put a lot of stress, because insulin is a hormone, it can also put a lot of stress on the adrenals, which then can interfere with cortisol and adrenaline, which can affect the whole hormonal balance in
mm-hmm.
a woman's, that, you know, help to maintain a woman's natural fertility.
Mm-hmm.
To tack on to that a little bit, exercise is also very important for women who are trying to conceive, because, you know, you've heard about the extremes of women who run marathons or gymnasts who don't get their period. Obviously, too much exercise is not good, but women should have a healthy amount of exercise so that they can improve their circulation, which improves blood flow to the uterus and the ovaries and the tubes, which will also enhance their ability to become pregnant, and it increases their likelihood to carry a pregnancy to term
mm-hmm.
if women engage in regular exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two lifestyle modifications, very simple lifestyle modifications, are drinking alcohol and caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So women who drink more than 4 drinks a week tend to take longer to achieve pregnancy and are at higher risk of undergoing infertility evaluation. And so 4 drinks a week basically means, 12 ounces of beer, 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of hard liquor. And caffeine, the consumption of caffeine can inhibit fertility because the caffeine can actually act as a vasoconstrictor. So it's doing the opposite of what the exercise is doing, and it can actually limit blood flow to the reproductive organs.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the initial simple lifestyle modifications that women can make. And then usually I would go the next step, and these are things that for women who are just planning on becoming pregnant, haven't really thought too much about their fertility, or maybe they've only been trying for a few months, or they're planning on trying coming up within the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
But women who maybe have been trying for 6 months to a year who want to enhance their fertility, really the next step is then determining where the source of the subfertility is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to use the word infertility because it seems so finite.
Right,
I try to use the word subfertility.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many factors that can cause subfertility, male or female. Most of them usually are female. And then it can be something having to do with the ovaries, the hormones, the tubes, the uterus itself, or the cervix. And so once you figure out you can see your provider, your healthcare provider, your midwife, or your, OBGYN or physician. Once you determine what the cause of the subfertility is, then it's a lot easier to kind of naturally treat the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just take one example. One of the most common things that women see is they aren't ovulating at the right time. So that can either be an ovarian issue or a hormonal issue. A lot of times it can be a little bit of both. And so a natural way to treat what we call anovulation or not ovulating is through a very simple diet modification. And a lot of times women who aren't ovulating, it goes back to the insulin, cortisol, adrenaline topic that I was talking about before with the pancreas. Is that they have very high levels of insulin, which then are interfering with luteinizing hormone and estrogen and progesterone, which are the hormones that cause the ovary to release an egg at the right time in the cycle for fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times just modifying the diet, going on a gluten-free diet or a low glycemic index diet will enhance a woman's fertility who's having this problem, like an ovarian problem or ovulating at the wrong time.
Kristen, can you tell us some superfoods that pregnant women are not eating that they should be eating?
Right, sure. So when we talk about superfoods, one of the good things to talk about is specific vitamins and minerals that a lot of pregnant women are lacking.
Mm-hmm.
So selenium is a very big mineral that most pregnant women are lacking. And actually, of all different groups of people, infants, children, men, women, pregnant women and lactating women need the most selenium. And so selenium is kind of hard to come by in foods, but it is found in Brazilian nuts specifically and wheat germ. So Brazilian nuts and wheat germ are something that women can eat to enhance their selenium. Selenium is really good at relaxing the nervous system, and also it can help to control spikes in cortisol levels. And so a lot of times women are afraid to eat nuts in pregnancy because they've heard about allergies and they've heard about, well, I shouldn't eat nuts in pregnancy because then my child's going to have an allergy to nuts when they're born, but actually they're finding out that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And the most allergy-causing nut is the peanut. And so if women eat cashews, almonds, Brazilian nuts, they can even walnuts, they can get very excellent, rich sources of many minerals and vitamins without having the risk, or without worrying about anaphylaxis and, only eating peanuts. But peanuts are the most common nut that we eat in our diet in general. So Brazilian nuts is one of the superfoods I recommend. Almonds is another great superfood that I recommend. Almonds, very high in folic acid, fiber, and B vitamins. It also has a very low glycemic index, so it's not going to spike the blood sugar too much. Another superfood I recommend is chia seeds. So chia seeds are becoming more popular as more people are understanding what they are. They're really the ultimate source, the ultimate vegetarian source of omega-3 fatty acids. Mm-hmm. They're really important for brain and eye development, and they're really important for a developing fetus, for the brain and eye development of a developing penis.
Mm-hmm.
They have about 5,000 milligrams per ounce of omega-3s, and they even have a moderate amount of protein, and they do contain minerals like potassium, phosphorus, calcium, and magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Another really great superfood that I recommend is cherries. Cherries are often overlooked as a superfood, but their rich, bright color gives them away as a food that's very high in antioxidants. They're very high in fiber and vitamin C. They also have a natural melatonin in them, which can really help with women who have insomnia and pregnancy. So even a really concentrated cherry juice or cherries, a handful of cherries at bedtime can help women who suffer from insomnia get a little bit of extra sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Chickpeas are a great legume. They're overlooked. They're a very good source of protein, and they're very high in folate. So folate and folic acid are really important to prevent things like spinal defects or neural tube defects in a developing fetus.
Mm-hmm.
And also folic acid is really important for cell synthesis. So women who are growing a human inside them are only going to be benefited by the extra dose of folic acid, as they're constantly, every day, making thousands and thousands and thousands of new cells for their baby. Mm-hmm. Eggs is another really great superfood. Eggs have every single amino acid that humans need. And a lot of women are afraid of eggs because I think they got a bad rap a long time ago with the amount of cholesterol that's in them.
Mm-hmm.
But cholesterol is actually an important component for cell building as well. And all cells need cholesterol to be formed. So I even recommend up to 2 eggs a day for
mm-hmm.
women who are pregnant
mm-hmm.
because their body actually has that much of a need for cholesterol and the 23 essential amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs also is one of the very few dietary sources of vitamin D, and we all know how important vitamin D is
mm-hmm.
now. You know, we have an epidemic of vitamin D deficiency in America. We're just not getting enough sun exposure. And, you know, it makes sense. People are wearing sunscreen more often.
Mm-hmm.
And eggs also have vitamin A, B6, B12, chlorine, iron, and up to 12 grams of protein.
Mm-hmm.
And protein is really important for pregnant women. They have a very high need for protein. It helps to prevent problems in the end of pregnancy like high blood pressure and preeclampsia. And most pregnant women don't eat enough protein in their diet. Pregnant women need about 75 to 100 grams of protein a day.
Mm-hmm.
The last two that I'll talk about is mushrooms. Mushrooms is one of my favorite superfoods. Mushrooms also are high in selenium, and they're a really great low-calorie, low-glycemic index, very satisfying food. And because there's so many different types of mushrooms, you can really get a lot of different flavor. And they can really help women who are tending to gain more weight in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
They also are really helpful in reducing inflammation and swelling, which is really common at the end of pregnancy. And especially now in the hot months, a lot of women are tending to have more swelling. So mushrooms can be a really good antidote to holding excessive water
mm-hmm.
that pregnant women tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my last favorite food is yogurt. There's
mm-hmm.
just no getting around how wonderful yogurt is.
Mm-hmm.
All natural, no sugar added with the live cultures is just fantastic because it's a great source of protein, it's a great source of calcium, and the medical benefits are just so vast. It promotes skeletal growth, which is important for developing baby. It decreases inflammation, it aids in digestion, it improves skin. So a lot of women have skin complications in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
They get more acne, or they have something that's called chalazma, which is like a dark pigmentation in the skin. And yogurt can even decrease nausea in the beginning of pregnancy, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my very short but maybe overcomprehensive
mm-hmm.
list of some superfoods that women should be eating in pregnancy.
Then one last question. Are there things that women can do to decrease their risk of cesarean?
Yes, definitely. So unfortunately, in the United States, we have a C-section rate as high as 32%. And in the area where I live in New Jersey, the rate is as high as 44%, and some hospitals are even approaching 50%. And that rate is even higher for women who are first-time moms.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in the medical field, we call them prima gravidas. So someone who's a prima gravida has a very high risk of having a cesarean in the United States. One of the things that I think is leading to this, I mean, obviously, there's the whole political conversation we could have about why physicians are doing it for convenience or they're doing it for medical malpractice. But one of the reasons I think it's happening is women, for whatever reason, have become afraid of exercise in pregnancy. They've heard, maybe through myths or through friends, that it can cause miscarriage or that they're not supposed to have their heart rate be increased over a certain rate or that they really shouldn't do exercise in pregnancy. But actually, exercise in pregnancy will reduce your risk of cesarean section. Also, it will lead to less weight gain. So women who gain more than 40 pounds in pregnancy have a much higher risk of cesarean. And women who exercise regularly, and regular exercise is 150 minutes of moderate aerobic activity per week in pregnancy, starting from the very first week of pregnancy, going all the way to the 42nd week of pregnancy. Women who do exercise actually are less likely to go overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have an increased weight gain and you go overdue, you have a higher risk of developing a baby that's very large. And developing a baby, it's just, common knowledge or common sense. A large baby is sometimes harder to fit through the pelvis than a baby that, is underneath 8 pounds or underneath 8.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So really, one of the best things that women can do is exercise, and they can watch their weight gain in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Then, Kristen, will you tell us about your services, your books, your products, and how listeners could reach you?
Oh, sure. So I have a website. It's www.njmidwifery.com. It also links to my blog, which is Midwife Rising. And I work with a maternal fetal medicine doctor in Hackensack, New Jersey. And I see patients on a solo basis. I have my own patients, and we work together for any of patients that might have high-risk complications.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody can contact me through my website, www.njmidwifery.com.
Mm-hmm. And you have some books, some publications?
Right. So what I've published so far is I've just published chapters in different nursing books.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with Dr. Linda Pugh on a breastfeeding resource handbook for Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I thank you very much, Kristen. It's always great to talk with a colleague. And I find that my colleagues have gone into so many interesting fields. And most of them are fields that I know very little about, as you probably knew or maybe didn't. Back when I was nursing, males did not get much experience with OB patients. In fact, I think at the time that I was at Bellevue for most of my experiences in nursing school, and I think we had one day of observations. That was the extent of it. So most of this is new material for me.
Oh, wow.
Although I did see some prenatals, when I was doing public health. But
right.
Not as in-depth as what you're talking about.
Right, right.
So I appreciate this very much, and I'm sure it will be informative to the listeners.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate being on.
Great, thank you. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. Because we have a bit of time left, I would like to tell you about my upcoming book that will be published on November 30th, 2012. The book, titled You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions, is based upon my experience with lung cancer 38 years ago when I was given 6 months to live by traditional medicine and decided to use alternative natural interventions. And now, 38 years later, I not only beat lung cancer, but I also have beat the odds of 3 chronic illnesses and 5 prescribed medications that are the average for a 75-year-old. And at age 80, I have no chronic illnesses and no prescribed medications. In my book, I discuss my experience with lung cancer, the natural interventions that I used. I also discuss what I have used in the last 36 years to prevent a reoccurrence of lung cancer and to remain healthy. To supplement my chapters, I have chapters by Dr. Bernie Siegel, who discusses the mind-body connection, Dr. Francisco Contreras, who discusses the treatment that is offered for lung cancer at the Oasis of Hope in Mexico and California, and Dr. James Forsyth, who discusses treatment offered to lung cancer patients at his Century Wellness Center in Reno, Nevada. Both physicians are having a much higher success rate with stage 4 lung cancer than is obtained in contemporary medicine. I also have a chapter on nutrition in lung cancer by Dr. Kim Dossel, and a chapter on Protocell by Tanya Harder Pierce. I also have an overview chapter that discusses incidence, prevalence, demographics, a classification system for lung cancer, why alternative treatments have not previously been popular with mainstream medicine, and other aspects of an overview of lung cancer. I also have 2 chapters on how to do some of the interventions that are included. For example, how to look for radon in your house, how to quit smoking, how to meditate, how to visualize, how to do affirmations, and so forth. I hope you will look for this book when it comes out in November. More information can be found on my website, www.beatlungcancer.net. I also hope that if you are on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media sites, that you will like my pages. On Facebook, I have a page on Beat Lung Cancer and a page on the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.